This is Audible.
Ideal Audiobooks presents The Fill-In Boyfriend by Casey West, narrated by Shannon McManus. To Dad, who taught me to read for knowledge, and to Mom, who taught me to read for fun. Love you both. Chapter 1. In some part of my brain, probably the logical part that seemed to be missing at the moment, I knew I should let go and walk away, maintain some of my dignity. Instead, I gripped his waist more securely by wrapping my arms around him and pressed my cheek against his chest. Logic was definitely not ruling my brain right now. Desperation was. And even though I knew desperation wasn't attractive, I couldn't help myself. He sighed, releasing some air, which allowed me to tighten my hold even more. Isn't that how boa constrictors kill their prey? Not even this thought made me let go.
Gia, I'm sorry.
Then don't do this. And if you have to, can't it wait 2 hours?
The fact that you said that makes me know it can't. You only care about your friends seeing me.
That's not true. Okay, so it was kinda true, but only because of Jules. She'd infiltrated our group a year ago and ever so slowly tried to turn my best friends against me. Her latest claim was that I'd been lying about having a boyfriend for the last 2 months. So yes, I wanted my friends to see that I had not been lying. That it was she who was trying to divide our group in half. She, who was at least one quarter evil. Not me. That wasn't the only reason I'd wanted Bradley to come tonight. I had really liked him before he decided to break up with me in the parking lot at prom. But now that he'd pulled out the jerk card, I just needed him to walk inside, prove that he existed, maybe punch Jules in the gut for me, and then walk out. Was that too much to ask? Plus, hello, this was my senior prom. He was really going to make me walk alone into my senior prom, where I would possibly be crowned royalty tonight? That's not all I care about. My voice cracked, even though I was trying not to show weakness. Well, aside from the whole clinging to him like a static-filled sock thing.
It's all you care about. And you confirmed it tonight when you saw me, and the first thing you said was, my friends are going to die. Really, Gia? That's the first thing you say when you see me after 2 weeks?
My mind raced back. Was that really what I had said? Or was he making things up now to try to make himself feel better? He did look really good. And yes, I did want my friends to see just how good he looked. Could he blame me for that?
And the whole way over here, you were trying to plan how we were going to walk in. You told me exactly how to look at you.
So I'm slightly controlling. You knew that about me.
Slightly?
A car pulled into the empty space across from where I was squeezing the life out of my boyfriend, my ex-boyfriend. A couple climbed out of the back seat. I didn't recognize either of them.
Gia.
Bradley pried my hands apart and stepped back.
I have to go. It's a long drive home.
He did at least look sincerely sorry. I crossed my arms, finally finding a little dignity far too late. Fine. Go.
You should go inside anyway. You look amazing.
Can you just cuss me out and walk away or something? I don't need to think you're sweet after all this. He was sweet, and the thought that my desperation to keep him here was about more than just my friends was battling to take over my emotions. I pushed it back. I did not want him to know he'd really hurt me. He smiled his playful smile, then raised his voice.
I never want to talk to you again. You're a shallow, self-centered snob, and you deserve to walk in there alone.
Why did that sound so convincing? I kept up our little charade.
I hate you, jerk.
He blew me a kiss, and I smiled. I watched him until he got in the car and left. My smile slipped off my face as my stomach tightened. Guess he was assuming I'd find a ride home. Thank goodness all my friends were inside. Waiting for me to show up with a guy I'd bragged about for the last 2 months. I growled, trying to turn my hurt into anger, and leaned up against the tailgate of a red truck. That's when I caught the eye of a guy sitting in the driver's seat of the car across from me. I quickly straightened up from my slumped position. Not even a stranger got to see me looking weak. And he dropped his gaze. What was some guy doing sitting in his car? He lifted a book and began to read. He was reading? Sitting in the parking lot at prom and reading? Then it hit me. The couple that had climbed out of the back seat. He was dropping someone off. A younger sister or brother, maybe. I assessed him while he read. I couldn't see much, but he wasn't bad to look at. Brown hair, olive skin. He could have even been tall. His head was higher than the headrest, but it was hard to tell. He wasn't my type at all. Hair a little too shaggy. On the thin side, glasses. But he'd have to do. I walked to his window. He was reading some geography book or something about the world in 80 days. I tapped on his window, and he slowly looked up. It took him even longer to roll down the window. "Hi," I said.
"Hey.
Do you go here?" If he went to school here and I just hadn't met him before, this wouldn't work, because odds were people would know him.
"What?
Do you go to school here?"
"No, we just moved here, but I'm finishing out the year at my old school."
Even better. They were new to the area. "You're here dropping off your brother?"
"Sister."
"Perfect." He raised his eyebrows. "You get to be my date." His mouth opened, but that's all that came out. "Do you live close? Because you can't go in there in jeans and a t-shirt, especially one with a telephone booth on it." His eyes flickered to his shirt and then back to me.
"A telephone booth? Seriously?"
"Do you at least have some dark pants and a button-down shirt? Maybe a tie? A teal tie would be awesome to match me, but I'm not holding my breath about that." I tilted my head. He really didn't look like my type. My friends would know this. "And do you happen to own contacts and some hair product?"
"I'm just going to roll up my window now."
"No, please." I put my hand on top. Had I ever had a night where I felt so desperate? "My boyfriend just broke up with me. I'm sure you saw. And I really don't want to walk into my senior prom alone. Plus, my friends didn't think he existed. Long story, but I need you to be him. 2 hours, that's all I'm asking for. Besides, you're just sitting here anyway, waiting for your sister." Crap, his sister. Was she going to yell his name across the gym and ruin this for me? We'd just have to avoid her. Or let her in on the secret. I hadn't decided yet. "It will be way more fun than sitting in a parking lot." He was still looking at me like I was crazy. I felt crazy.
"You want me to pretend to be Captain America?"
He pointed toward the street. I was confused at first, but then realized that's what he was calling Bradley, whose build was on the beefy side. They have never met him, so they have no idea what he looks like. "Besides, I gestured toward him without finishing the sentence. I tried to think of a different superhero to compare him to, but nothing came to mind. I wasn't well-versed in superheroes. Was there some who were on the thinner side? Spider-Man? That didn't seem like a compliment. He just sat there, staring at me, waiting for me to finish the sentence. "I can pay you." He raised his eyebrows.
"I'm sure there are services for that. Maybe you can try calling 1-800-HOOKERS or something."
I rolled my eyes, but couldn't help the smile that came with it. "You know that number well?" He let out a single laugh. "Fine. If you feel weird about taking money, I'll owe you."
"Owe me what?"
"I don't know. If you're ever in need of a fake date, I'll be there for you."
"I'm not exactly in the habit of requiring fake dates."
"Well, fine. I'm glad you can get a real date whenever you want, but I can't. Well, I mean, I usually can, but obviously not right now in the middle of an empty parking lot." Was I going to have to pull out some fake tears to get me a fake date?
"Fine."
"Fine?" I was surprised, even though I'd really hoped he'd say yes.
"Yes. I live 6 blocks from here. I'll go change into something more prom-worthy."
He rolled up the window, while muttering something about how he didn't believe he was going along with this. Then he drove away. I stood there for 5 minutes, wondering if that was just his way of getting out of this whole thing.
He probably texted his sister and told her just to call when she needed a ride home. And if he only lived 6 blocks away, why was he waiting in the parking lot anyway? Shouldn't he have driven home and waited there? I pulled out my phone and checked Instagram and Twitter to make sure Bradley hadn't said anything about our breakup. There was nothing. It didn't surprise me. Bradley wasn't online that much. Another reason Jules thought I'd made him up. I sent off a tweet about how prom was going to rock, and then tucked my phone back into my clutch that matched my dress perfectly. Another 10 minutes passed, and I was sure he wasn't coming back now. I started thinking of all of the excuses I was going to give my friends when I got inside. He got sick. He had to study for finals for his college classes on Monday. Because he's in college. I sighed. This was pathetic. The truth. I needed to tell the truth. He broke up with me in the parking lot. My eyes stung with tears over that thought. Bradley broke up with me in a parking lot. I'd screwed up and lost him, and now I might lose more than just him. Would this be the final piece of evidence my friends needed to believe the claims Jules had made? I knew the look I'd get from Jules right away when I told the truth. It would be the, yeah, right, he doesn't exist, look. The look she gave me every time I mentioned Bradley. It was a look that always made me tell more stories. Too bad I'd told so many that even my other friends had started to question his existence. We'd met in a cafe at UCLA when we were there for a film festival my older brother was involved with. Alone in the cafe, Bradley had thought I was a student there. I didn't correct him because I was actually going to be a student there next year. I'd just got my early acceptance that very weekend, so I had been feeling quite collegiate. We'd exchanged phone numbers and texted for a while, and what started off as mere attraction became more. He told stupid jokes and knew so much about so many places from all his traveling. He was interesting. A couple of weeks later, I came clean about my age. By that time, we liked each other. The main problem was that I lived 3 hours from UCLA, so he'd only come up a couple of times in the 2 months we'd been dating and hadn't met my friends. And now, it was over. I threw back my shoulders and faced the gym doors. I didn't need a date, real or otherwise. My friends liked me regardless of who I was or wasn't with. Even as I thought it, I wished for it to be true. I couldn't lose my boyfriend and my friends all in one night. I needed them in my life. As I started to walk, headlights cast my shadow on the asphalt in front of me. I turned as the car and lights went off. The guy stepped out.
Were you going to go in there without me, after all that begging?
Chapter 2. I smiled. I couldn't help it. He was actually wearing a suit, black, with a light gray tie. His glasses were gone, and he was tall. This was exactly what I needed. We'd be seen. He could break up with me at the end of the night. No smug looks from Jules, no pity sighs from Lainey, and no just-tell-the-truth head tilts from Claire. And it would be close to the truth. My fill-in guy was just rearranging tonight's order of events for me a little. There was no harm in that, especially if it kept the quarter-evil Jules at bay. "Hi," I said, approaching his car, where he still stood by the open door, as if he hadn't completely committed to this idea yet. "You look great." My eyes went to his hair, that I could see better now that I was closer. It was a mess. A mess that he had tried to tame, it seemed. "Sit for a sec." I pointed to the seat of his car. He raised an eyebrow, but obeyed. I fished out a small comb from my clutch and used it to style his hair. When it was off his forehead and shaped nicely, I gave a satisfied nod. "You clean up well." He let out a sigh.
"Let's get this over with."
He stood and offered me an elbow. I grabbed his hand instead and pulled him toward the gym.
"Whoa, hold on there,"
he said, my body jerking to a halt, which wasn't very fun in my heels.
"I need a little backstory here. You are trying to convince your friends we actually know each other, yes?"
"Oh, right. Let's see.
A name would be a good start."
I laughed. I hadn't even told him my name. "I'm Gia Montgomery, 17. Senior here at lovely Fremont High. I'm on the student council and don't usually have to beg for dates.
As in, I never have before today.
Noted.
And for the next 2 hours, you are Bradley Harris, junior at UCLA, which is why my parents disapprove, by the way. They think you're way too old for me.
I am,
he said. I wasn't sure if he was talking about Bradley or himself. I thought he'd implied earlier that he was in high school. How old are you?
If I'm a junior, that would make me at least, what, 21?
He was talking about Bradley. I rolled my eyes. Yes, but that's only 4 years older than me.
Which wouldn't be the end of the world if you weren't still in high school. And underage.
I'm only in high school for 5 more weeks, and you sound like my parents now. He shrugged.
They sound like good parents.
Well, it doesn't matter anymore. At the end of the night, you get to break up with me. In front of my friends, preferably. Try not to make a big show of it. Quickly and quietly. Then, like the real Bradley, you can walk away forever, and this will be over. A lump formed in my throat as I said that, as I pictured Bradley walking away from me, as if it was the easiest thing in the world to do. I pushed the image away and offered him a smile.
I can handle that.
Good. So what about your sister? Is she going to give us trouble in there, run across the gym screaming your name?
No. My sister will not expect me to be in there, looking like this, and she's really into her date. But if I see her coming, I'll make sure to head her off and fill her in. She's cool. She'll play along.
Why don't you text her, just in case?
I would, but in my quick change, I forgot my phone.
He patted his pockets to show me he was serious. She'll be cool?
She'll be cool.
Okay, I think we're set then. He smirked at me like I was missing something obvious. What?
Nothing. Let's go.
He had a slow, confident step as he walked with me to the gym. He didn't even seem to mind holding my hand. Just inside the door, I handed over to the teacher behind the table the tickets I had purchased for Bradley and me, and we continued into the main room. The music was loud. A live band. And not very good. The band was the winner of the auditions we had held for this event, so they were the best of the worst. Last year we had hired a popular local band, but with more affordable ticket prices, Mr. Lund said we didn't have the budget for it this year. I saw my friends and their dates across the room, standing around a high table. I closed my eyes for a moment and channeled every ounce of acting ability I had in my body, which wasn't very much, but would have to do. Beside me, my fill-in date didn't even seem nervous. Of course he wasn't. He had nothing to lose.
My sister's dancing, so I think we're good for now,
he said. I followed his gaze to a girl dressed in blue, the skirt of the dress full of puffy layers. She was cute. Long brown hair, friendly face. I'd never seen her before in my life, so she must have been younger than me. Although he had said they'd just moved here, so maybe they'd moved here very recently. I didn't recognize her date either, though, so I went back to the younger theory. Okay, so will you try to look at me like you're madly in love?
Captain America and you were madly in love?
I opened my mouth. My first instinct was to say, of course, but stopped myself, because it wasn't true. Bradley and I were, well, we were happy. At least I thought we were before tonight. I put on my best teasing smile, glad that my feelings, which had tried to take over in the parking lot, were back in my control. Do you not have a reference point for that emotion? He concentrated for a moment, then turned a smoldering gaze on me. Wow, he was good. That may be a little thick. He softened the intensity of his gaze, and for the first time, I noticed his eyes were blue. Not good. Bradley had brown eyes.
That bad, huh?
No, your look is great. Meaning he did know what being in love felt like. I was the one without a reference point. Your eye color is frustrating.
I've never been told that before.
Thanks. I'm sorry. I'm sure girls tell you that they're dreamy or whatever. And they were. It's just...
Bradley has emerald green? No. Melty chocolate brown.
I laughed, because he'd grabbed his chest and said it in a melodramatic voice. Yes, very melty. He met my eyes.
Like yours.
Well, his are more chocolate, mine are more sepia, but... I shook my head, trying to get back on subject. Just try not to make eye contact with anyone.
Because that won't be creepy. You think your friends remember the eye color of a guy they've never met? Did you really talk about his eyes that much?
No. I mean, well, they've seen a few pictures.
They've seen pictures?
His eyes widened.
And you think we're going to get away with this how?
Well, they were from a distance, and one was of half his face. Much to my frustration, he wasn't a fan of having his picture taken. It's been a while since they've seen them. I think you look similar enough that it will work, but work on the non-creepy version of the no eye contact thing.
He took my hand in his, kissed it, gave me his smoldering stare, and said, "Well, I only have eyes for you anyway."
He was really good. I laughed. "I see my friends. Let's go."
"Why didn't your friends think I existed, if they've seen pics?"
he asked, as we made our way through dancing bodies. "Because you went to UCLA, and I was usually the one visiting you. When you did come up here, you wanted to spend our time together, not with my friends."
"So I'm a snob. Got it."
"I didn't say that."
"When you came to visit me, did we hang out with my friends?"
"No, we rarely saw each other. We didn't want to have to deal with other people when we did."
"Okay, so you were my secret."
"No, it's how I wanted it too. And besides, you just drove 3 hours to come to my prom, so you were obviously planning on meeting all my friends." It was weirding me out that we were talking like he really was Bradley. I shook my head. He was planning to meet my friends.
"And yet, he broke up with you in the parking lot before he actually did."
I bit the inside of my cheek. 10 more steps and we'd reach the group. So I couldn't explain to him that I had treated Bradley poorly. That the first thing I'd said to him after not having seen him for 2 weeks was that my friends were going to die. It was because he'd looked so amazing. But I should have said that instead. I shouldn't have worried what my friends were going to think. It was hard not to, though, when I'd spent 2 months fielding questions about his existence. 2 months telling them all about him. All because of Jules. I shouldn't have let her get to me like I did. Claire noticed me first, and her eyes seemed to light up in relief when she saw my date. We were the closest, so she was always the one defending me. "Chia!" At her exclamation, everyone else turned around. The look from Jules was priceless. It was a smug smile followed by a slight drop of her jaw. And for once, Lainey didn't have the pity face. I smiled a huge smile. "Everyone, this is Bradley." He raised his hand in a small wave, and I didn't know if it was to be funny or if it was unintentional, but when he said,
"Nice to meet you all,"
his voice was low and husky. Claire widened her eyes at me like, "Way to go, Gia," was written in them. Jules got her inner snob back quickly as she looked him up and down. I held my breath, waiting for her to say he looked nothing like his pictures or nothing like the guys I normally dated. Instead, she said, "I'm surprised you wanted to come to a high school prom." He looked me straight in the eyes and slipped his arm down my back, hooking me around the waist.
"It was important to Gia."
With the words, he pulled me against his side. My back tingled with his touch. My first instinct was to yank away, but that wouldn't have been my reaction to Bradley. I would have leaned into him. I would have sighed happily. I made myself do both. Jules smirked. "Is that the theme of your relationship? The importance of Gia?" She actually did air quotes. Garrett, Jules's date, laughed, but then stopped quickly when another one of the guys smacked him on the back.
"No,"
my date said, before I had a chance to respond.
"But maybe it should be."
With this, they all laughed. I was too busy glaring at Jules to laugh.
"We're going to dance,"
my date said. And as he led me to the dance floor, it hit me that I didn't know his real name. Was that what the smirk was all about when we were walking toward the gym? So when the guy whose name I didn't know put his arms around me, I leaned my forehead against his chest and whispered, "Sorry." Chapter 3. What are you sorry for?
Phil-in Bradley asked. I don't even know your real name. He laughed a low chuckle that I could feel through his chest. Then he leaned down so his breath tickled my ear when he said,
My name is Bradley.
I looked up with a gasp. Really? He shook his head no.
I'm a method actor. I have to become a person.
Are you an actor? It wouldn't have surprised me. He was obviously really good at it. He looked up, thinking,
You didn't tell me that about myself. Am I?
I hit his chest with a laugh. Stop. He glanced over my shoulder, toward where my friends were still standing.
Nice friends you got there.
They're mostly nice. Jules is just constantly trying to oust me.
Why?
I have no idea. I think she thinks I'm the alpha of our pack, and that there's only room for one without resorting to cannibalism.
I'm going to take your weird wolf analogy and assume you mean that she wants to be the leader of your group.
I shrugged and watched across the room as Jules hooked her arm through Claire's and said something to her. It's the only thing I can think of. She's the main reason I needed you here tonight. She thinks I've been lying. I didn't want to give her ammo. She already finds enough without me handing her some on a silver platter. He raised his eyebrows. He liked to do that, I was already learning.
So if she finds out you've been lying...
Yes, I get it. That's exactly what I'm now doing and wasn't doing before. But she thinks I was. And if I walked in here without you, I would have been gone.
You don't trust that your other friends like you enough not to let her do that?
They like me. But for 2 months, she's been working on this. She really thought she had something on me. She thought I was hiding something. I needed tonight.
So if you really are the alpha, why aren't you the one kicking her out?
I thought about that question a lot. The main answer was that I really didn't think I was in charge, as much as Jules thought I was. But the other answer, the one I admitted only on my darkest nights, was that I was worried if I made everyone pick, they'd choose her. I was worried that no matter how much confidence I'd shown on the outside, deep down, people didn't like me. And that maybe they were right not to. I was not going to tell him that, though. He'd already seen enough weakness tonight. Because I'm only an eighth evil.
What?
I sometimes call Jules a quarter evil, but that's the thing. I guess I don't want to be that girl, the one who needs to kick someone out of a group. I've been hoping we can work it out, sign a peace treaty, find neutral ground, I don't know. And regardless of the other reasons I was scared to cause trouble, these reasons were true too. I just wanted us all to get along.
You like analogies, don't you?
Yes, I do. Words are powerful. He tilted his head as if intrigued by that answer.
So I still don't get it. If they've seen pictures of him, why don't they believe he existed?
I gave a humorless laugh. Because there aren't enough of them. But it's not like we were together a lot to take pictures. We have... had... a long-distance relationship. So Jules thinks I asked some random guy off the street to pose with me. He laughed.
I don't know why she'd ever think that.
My cheeks flushed red and I looked at the ground. Yeah. It was pretty pathetic that I had to bring in a fake date tonight. A date I wouldn't have had to bring in if my very real boyfriend hadn't broken up with me.
Are you okay? Upset about the whole Captain America thing?
I took a breath in through my nose, making sure my voice didn't sound wobbly when I said, Nope, I'll be fine. We obviously weren't that serious. It was a short, long-distance relationship. Nothing big. I wasn't sure if I was trying to convince him or me with that speech. He was quiet for so long that I looked up to see if he was still listening. His eyes were on me, searching for something I wasn't sure I possessed. The song ended, and a fast one took its place. I took a quick step back. So, your real name is...
We can't afford any slip-ups tonight, right? As far as you know, my real name is Bradley.
Finally, he looked away, and I could breathe again. He extended his hand to me, and when I took it, he spun me around once, then pulled me back into his arms, swaying with the beat. You're not half bad at this, I said.
At what?
The acting or the dancing? Well, both, but I was talking about the dancing.
It's because you're the fifth girl who's asked me to fill in for her date at prom. It's forced me to brush up on my dancing skills.
Whatever.
So, Gia Montgomery.
Yes, nameless boy? He gave a breathy laugh.
I don't believe you offered me money for this. Do you go around offering people money for random services often?
No. Usually my smile gets me what I want. I had actually been a little surprised he was so hard to talk out of that car.
What kinds of things has it gotten you so far?
Besides you in a suit? He looked down at his clothes as if my mention of the suit reminded him he was wearing it.
This wasn't because of your smile.
Then why? I was very curious. He had gone from trying to roll up his window to agreeing to be my date in a single breath, it seemed. Gia! I turned toward my name, and a girl with long blonde hair waved at me. I voted for you! She pointed up toward the stage where a sparkly tiara sat on a stool, waiting for its wearer. I smiled at her and mouthed, thank you. When I looked back at my date, his eyes sparkled with amusement. What?
I didn't realize I was dancing with royalty.
No one has been crowned yet, so that statement is completely premature.
Who was that?
He gestured back toward the blonde girl. She's in my history class. He took my arm in his and said,
guess we better get back to your friends.
The others had moved to an open table with chairs and were sitting around talking about leaving early and doing something more exciting. It was the more exciting part they were all trying to agree on. I glanced back up at the stage, knowing I couldn't leave until the royalty was announced. Jules didn't care about that, though. That's probably why she wanted to leave early. She was bitter she hadn't gotten nominated. It wasn't something she admitted out loud. That would be too obvious. But I saw her lip curl every time someone brought it up. Lainey whispered, sorry, when I reached her side. I wasn't sure what she was sorry about. Maybe the months of not believing me about Bradley? I slid around the back side of the table, still holding tightly to my date's hand, and we sat down, facing the dance floor. Jules stood and held up her phone. Everyone get closer together. I want to take a picture. We did, and when she got to three, I felt my fake date move behind me a little more, probably using my head to block his face. Jules studied the picture, but didn't ask for a retake. Then she turned her attention to fill in Bradley. So, what do college guys do for fun? Aside from pick up high school girls, that is. He didn't flinch at all from the comment, probably because it didn't really apply to him.
Well, Gia and I are going to a party after this, but it's invite only, so that's not very helpful, I guess. Is there an arcade or something you could all go to?
He said this all in the nicest tone, so it almost seemed like he was trying to be polite. But he squeezed my knee under the table, and I had to bite my lip to keep from laughing. I could have hugged him for saying that to her.
I don't live around here, so I'm not sure what there is to do.
I swear Jules was like a bloodhound, her senses perking up at the first drop of blood. She should be a detective when she grows up, because she picks up on the slightest inconsistency of any story. But if you don't live around here, how did you get invited to a party here? Phil and Bradley was just as quick with his response.
Who said the party was around here?
Then it was like a battle of wills, because they both stared at each other. Jules looked away first, and I took a small sip of air in relief. I just needed to get through tonight. If she was already sniffing around for trouble, she was bound to figure out that the guy sitting next to me wasn't who I claimed he was. My date must have seen the worry on my face, because he leaned in close with that I'm in love look I'd told him to give me, and brushed his lips softly against my cheek. My throat tightened. He was a really good actor.
Don't look so worried,
he whispered.
You'll give us away.
He tucked a piece of hair behind my ear.
Now giggle, like I said something funny.
I did. It wasn't hard to do, but that's when I saw something on the dance floor that stopped my giddy laugh in my throat. His sister, staring straight at us. Chapter 4. Her eyes squinted in confusion, And then she said something to the guy standing next to her. He looked as well, then nodded his agreement. With that, they both headed our way. "Incoming," I whispered. Phil and Bradley's gaze followed mine, and he smiled, like it was no big deal.
"I'll take care of this."
He stood. I wondered if I should follow him or just sit here and watch. I went with the sit-here-and-watch option. When he reached his sister, she spoke first, pointing at his clothes. He said something back. Then her head whipped to me, a look of anger there. So much for being cool about this. "What's going on?" Jules hissed. Of course she was the first one to notice. This was all about to blow up in my face. I knew it. I probably deserved it, too. I'd done something stupid, and it hadn't lasted for more than an hour. I should have just come clean right away. Bradley broke up with me. Claire and Lainey would have understood. They would have believed me. They probably would have even taken me to drown my sorrows in ice cream, like we did with Claire when she got dumped last year. But I was being insecure. I stood, looked at Jules, and said, "Something I'm sure you're going to be very happy about." I didn't wait to see her reaction. I just walked to where he was trying to direct his sister away.
"Come on, let's talk about it out here," I heard him say as I approached.
When I reached them, she turned on me, her hands on her hips. Something about that look seemed vaguely familiar.
"No," she said. "You do not get to use my brother like this. He's a nice guy and has been hurt by way too many self-serving girls like you in the past."
"Let's not exaggerate, Beck. It was just the one."
"I'm sorry," I said, responding to his sister, but looking at him. "I didn't mean to turn this into a big deal." I faced her. "You're right. I shouldn't have used your brother like this. He is a nice guy." She nodded once, as though surprised I agreed with her so fast.
"Yes, he is. And he doesn't need to deal with someone like you." "Don't generalize, Beck. You don't even know Gia."
Beck laughed at this.
"Is that what she told you? That she doesn't know me? Classic."
"Do I know you?" I asked, confused, studying her face again.
"No, you don't," Beck said.
But I got the feeling she meant the exact opposite. I tried to remember meeting her at school. Had I been rude? I met a lot of people because I was in leadership, but it was a big school, at least 2,000 students. Still, I needed to try harder to remember names and faces. I pointed back toward the table. "I'm sorry. I'm messing up a lot tonight, but I'm going to take care of this right now. I'll tell them what really happened." This was the moment of truth. I faced my friends, who by this time were all staring at us from across the room. They would either forgive me or they wouldn't. I took a step forward, but was jerked to a halt by someone grabbing my hand.
"No, don't do this. You were right. Jules is at least a quarter evil. She will crucify you."
"It's okay. It'll all work out. My other friends will stick up for me. Thank you so much for your help tonight. You are such a good sport." I stood on my tiptoes and kissed his cheek, then whirled around before I changed my mind. I went through everything I was going to say when I reached the table. I knew Jules would debate me on each and every truth I spoke, so I braced myself for that as well. I'd been deflecting her jabs for months now. I could handle this. I focused on Claire, her concern showing in her expression. I took comfort in that as I reached the table.
"Is everything okay?" Claire asked.
"No, I have to tell you something. Both of you," I said, looking at Lainey, then back to Claire. At that moment, Phil and Bradley rushed to my side.
"Please, Gia, she means nothing to me."
My mouth dropped open in shock.
"I know what this must look like, but please, give me a chance to explain."
If I'd known his real name right then, I would have said it loudly, in a scolding manner, but I didn't. This wasn't exactly the low-key breakup I'd been hoping for. He had not only turned my boyfriend into a cheater, but was breaking up with me in front of half the school. I felt my cheeks heat with embarrassment. "No, don't do this. I'll be fine."
"Oh, really? You'll be fine without me? Is that how you feel? You just want me to walk away like you never existed? What about me, Gia? What am I supposed to do without you?"
His voice had gotten progressively louder, and by the end of his rant, he was practically yelling. A lot of people had turned toward the commotion. I had to turn my back on my friends because I felt nervous laughter bubbling up in my throat, and I was pretty sure that wasn't the right reaction to this. Anyone else, and that speech would have seemed over the top and fake. But he made it work. He sounded desperate. Probably a lot like I'd sounded earlier with Bradley. I put my hand on his chest and said in a quiet voice, "Don't do this." His stare was so intense that I forgot for a moment this was all pretend.
"I can see your mind is made up. Call me if you'll hear me out."
He lowered his head in defeat and then sulked off like I had really broken his heart. If he wasn't in drama, he definitely should have been. I watched as his sister left the gym after him, glaring at me. She probably wasn't trying to back up his story, but her actions only solidified everything he'd just claimed. I stood there, breathing heavily for several heartbeats, trying to will my hot face to change back to its normal temperature, when a pair of arms wrapped around me. The familiar scent of Claire's perfume assaulted my senses, bringing me out of my shocked haze. "I'm so sorry," she said. "What a jerk. Was he messing around with that other girl?" "No, he's not a jerk." And I didn't even know his name. "Don't defend him, Gia. And don't you dare take him back. You deserve better." I nodded absentmindedly, having the strangest urge to go rushing after him. Instead, I turned on a watery smile and faced my friends. Why was I reacting like this? I didn't even know him. So why did it feel like I'd been broken up with twice tonight? I shook my head. I had my friends, and that was what mattered right now. I wrapped my arms around Claire and glanced at Jules. Surprisingly, she wasn't looking at me. Her stare was focused on the door that Phil and Bradley had just exited through. There was that familiar, calculating look on her face, and I wondered what was going through her mind. I was sure of one thing. It wasn't good. Chapter 5. My parents were waiting up for me, per usual, when Claire and her date dropped me off. They'd tried to get me to go out with them after prom, but I wasn't feeling up to it. They thought it was because I hadn't won prom queen. Maybe that was part of it. Or the fact that Jules had turned from grumpy to happy with the announcement. That could have affected my mood, because I did not want to feel this way over a stupid boy. My mom stretched up from her spot on the couch to look behind me. It took me a moment to realize she was looking for Bradley. "He's not here," I mumbled. My dad stood and yawned. I'd made it home. He could go to bed now.
"He could have at least walked you up,"
he said, as he gave me a hug and kissed the top of my head. I really didn't feel like rehashing the night, even though I knew my parents would have been happy if I had told them that Bradley and I were finished. "I'm tired. Thanks for waiting up." I hugged my mom and then disappeared into my bedroom. I unzipped my prom dress and let it puddle on the floor, not caring enough to hang it carefully. It wasn't really a memory I'd be looking forward to reliving. I changed into my pajamas, then padded to the bathroom to perform my other nighttime rituals of washing my face and brushing my teeth. When I went back to my room and saw my dress, blue eyes flashed through my mind. I was surprised that was the memory my mind decided to give me with the dress. Why had he agreed to be my fake date anyway? He said it wasn't my smile, but we'd been interrupted before he'd answered what it really was. Curiosity burned in my chest. Maybe he thought I was cute? I did look great in that dress. I gently picked it up and placed it over my desk chair. Why was I analyzing his motives anyway? It didn't matter. My brain was tired. I needed sleep. But my brain wouldn't shut off. It kept analyzing. It thought about prom and how half the school had witnessed fake Bradley's breakup performance. They'd all be talking about it tomorrow. I didn't need anyone feeling sorry for me. How could I smooth that over? I pulled up Twitter. "Guess I'm single again. Who's throwing me a party?" There. Now everyone would know I was perfectly fine. Because I was. Perfectly fine. I stared at the screen. an urge to delete that tweet rising up my chest. Sleep. I just needed sleep. Everything would be clear in the morning. Except it wasn't. My mind had chosen to fill the night with dreams of a nameless boy and his mysterious motives. A boy who, even if I wanted to talk to again, was only reachable through a girl who hated my guts. She'd never help me get in touch with her brother. He probably didn't want to talk to me anyway, even if the only reason I wanted to talk to him was to satisfy my curiosity. I wandered downstairs to see my dad at the kitchen table with his sketch pad. I knew better than to disrupt him while he was revisiting a left-behind dream. He had once wanted to be an animator for Disney. Apparently, that's a nearly impossible goal. A dream not even close to where he had ended up as a CPA, sitting at a desk, only using the left side of his brain. His pencil glided over the paper with an ease he displayed in no other aspect of his life. He was really good. The bowls were in the cupboard behind his chair, so I opted for a banana and started to take it to my room when he stopped me with a, "Good morning, Gia." "Hey, Dad. Mom at the grocery store?" He nodded. Our house felt like a perfectly working clock. We all turned at the right time and said the right things and maintained the same rhythm day in and day out without ever deviating. It was nice to have that routine, to feel grounded in something, safe.
"Sit and tell me about prom last night."
"That's okay. You're in the middle of something." He waved his hand at his sketchbook, the relaxed state he'd been in moments before replaced with a straight back.
"I'm nowhere near the middle. More like way past the end."
I sat in the chair across from him, knowing he wouldn't give up until I gave him a summary. Besides, it was time to tell him what he'd been wanting to hear for 2 months. "Bradley broke up with me." His eyes went wide, then happy, then sympathetic, all in under a second.
"At prom?"
I shrugged. "It's not a big deal."
"Do you need me to drive to UCLA and beat him up?"
I raised my eyebrows.
"You're right. He's way too big for me. I'll have your brother do it."
I gave him the laugh he was looking for, then took a bite of my banana, knowing that even if my dad were being serious right now, Drew would never beat up anyone for me. We weren't close enough for that. My dad folded his hands on the table.
"Chin up. There are other fish in the sea. It's a big ocean. Sometimes we need to catch and release a few before we find a keeper. Just keep swimming."
I don't think that last metaphor applies here.
"I was on a water roll. I just went with it."
I smiled, then stood and threw away the banana peel. "All I ask is that you wait until I'm out of the house before you and Mom throw a party over this." He gave me an overly serious nod as I left the room. There, that wasn't bad. I could now check off talking to my parents about the breakup from my list. I went through the rest of the day in a haze, answering tweets about my newly single status and what parties were happening this weekend where I could celebrate. Bradley didn't respond to the tweet about being single. He'd probably unfollow me soon. I wondered if I should unfollow him first. I didn't. That night I slept hard, thankful no dreams tried to remind me of prom. School would be a good distraction, I thought, as I jumped into the shower the next morning. I wasn't sure how long I stood under the water, and it was possible I had conditioned my hair twice. I picked out an outfit carefully, knowing I'd be on the other end of a lot of staring today, and stood in front of the mirror to get ready. By the time I looked at my phone, I realized I'd spent way too much time perfecting my look. I'd have to skip breakfast. On my way through the kitchen, I grabbed a granola bar. "Running late, Mom," I called, as her whole body turned to follow my path through the kitchen. Her wide eyes proved she was shocked I wasn't eating breakfast with her like I normally did. "I'll see you at 5. We have a meeting after school." "Okay. Love you." "You too." I let the door swing shut behind me and threw my backpack onto the floorboard of the passenger seat before climbing into the car after it. "Wow, you look good." "Thanks." Claire pointed to my front porch where my mom waved goodbye to us. I smiled and waved back. "I swear, your family should be on some perfect family billboard or something. What's it like to have the world's best parents?" "They are pretty great. They always seem to do everything by the book. What book is that? I don't know. What to Say to Your Kids 101? I took a deep breath and opened my granola bar. You didn't eat breakfast? No time. Clara backs out of my driveway. You okay? I didn't hear from you at all this weekend. I thought you'd want to go out last night. I shrugged. No, I had homework to finish. I'm sorry you didn't win.
Win what?
Prom queen. I gave a little laugh. You think me not wanting to go out had to do with not winning prom queen? I don't know. That or Bradley. I've just never seen you upset over a guy before. I started to deny that staying home all weekend had to do with Bradley, but in a weird way it did. Or at least with the person who'd filled in for him. He'd taken over my thoughts and was making it impossible to concentrate. Why was that the case when I hardly even knew him? Maybe that was the point. That he had saved me the other night without knowing me at all. And I wanted to know why. You're right. It does have to do with him. Is it because he basically broke up with you first by cheating on you?
What?
You're just always the breaker-upper. He beat you to it. She playfully punched my arm. Don't deny it. Bradley. He broke up with me. That tension in my chest was back at the thought of it. No, I was done with him. He'd left me in the parking lot at prom. He didn't get to make me feel bad anymore. Claire grabbed my hand. I'm sorry. I don't mean to make light of it. He pulled a jerk move. You should be upset. I should have taken you out for a milkshake or something. She squeezed my hand. You can't let a boy ruin your carefully crafted image. Pull yourself together and we'll mourn in private.
Right. We wouldn't want that.
Was this how I'd comforted her after Peter last year?
Did you guys have fun Saturday night after leaving prom? What did you end up doing?
We went over to the park and hung out. Tyler surfed on the swings.
That sounds fun.
It was funny. He almost ruined his tux.
I smiled.
So, Tyler, are you feeling like you know him better now? He seemed nice.
She shrugged.
I don't know. He's a solid B, but I still think I have a chance with Logan. He's A material for sure, don't you think?
Logan.
I vaguely remember telling her a month ago, when no one had asked her to prom yet, that Logan was someone she should aim for. He was a star on the football team, plus did well in school. But then Tyler had asked her and she seemed to like him, so I thought she'd forgotten about Logan. Apparently not. Logan had his chance. I think if you had a good time with Tyler that you should go for it. Not that it matters. We are leaving for college soon. She bit her lip, containing a smile. Then we will have our pick of college boys, college men, ones that are way better than Bradley.
Right.
I finished my granola bar and shoved the wrapper in my backpack. Oh, speaking of, my mom bought us a doormat.
For our dorm?
Yes. I tried to tell her that our dorm was inside a building and it wasn't like an apartment, but she insisted.
What does it look like?
Get this. It says, I am not a doormat.
She groaned.
I laughed. Do you think she's trying to send a message to our future visitors or just trying to be funny? I don't think she gets the double meaning. I think she thinks the doormat is saying it's not a doormat and she finds that amusing.
Your mom is funny.
My mom is annoying. Between our two sets of parents, we're not going to have to buy anything for our dorm room. She smiled and held up her fist for me to bump. 103 days until we're officially roommates.
I can't wait.
We pulled into the parking lot at school. Right away, I saw Lainey and Jules heading our way from where they had just climbed out of the car. I braced myself. Jules had all weekend to analyze prom. Surely she'd come up with something incriminating. Chapter 6. Lainey and Jules joined us at the car.
Gia, Lainey said. Tiebreaker.
Okay. I shouldered my backpack and shut the car door.
Which building do you think is higher, the Holiday Inn or the Convention Center?
What?
The boys were talking about rappelling off one, hypothetically, of course.
Which Holiday Inn? Beachfront or downtown?
Beachfront.
The convention center, hands down. But beachfront would be easier to rappel without getting caught.
See? Lainey said, pointing at Jules.
You act like Gia is the authority on building heights.
Great. I thought it was an argument between the boys. I hadn't realized I was going against Jules. It was like she was always on the opposing side from me, whether I knew it or not.
But I could be wrong, I said. I've never measured them. I walked toward campus, the others following after me.
I'll Google it, Jules said. She was constantly Googling things to prove she was right. The problem was that when she wasn't right, she got all pissy, as if we had personally gone into Google and changed all the answers to go against her. She pulled out her phone. Oh, and while I'm online, I wanted to leave mean messages on Bradley's Facebook page for what he did to you. What's his last name again? Here it was. Her play. I was surprised she'd waited this long. He isn't on Facebook. Who goes on Facebook anymore anyway? He actually was on Facebook, but there was no way I was telling her that. So, Instagram, Twitter? You showed me them before, but I don't remember his handle. She pushed. We broke up, Jules. I don't want him to think I'm still hung up on him. But the messages will be from me. She held her phone poised, like I was going to give her his social media information right there on the way to class. I wasn't sure if she thought she'd find something on one of those sites to incriminate me, or if she knew he wasn't who I claimed him to be. Did you see our prom picture I posted? It already has 40 likes.
Yes, I saw.
She handed me the phone anyway, and I looked at the picture of the seven of us crowded around that table at prom. My date's head was mostly hidden by my own, and I found myself wishing it wasn't. I held back a frustrated sigh over that thought and gave her back her phone.
I've been thinking, Jules said. Never a good thing, I thought.
It's so weird that Bradley knew someone else from our school. Not only knew her, but was having a relationship with her behind your back. What are the odds of that?
Crap. Our story had holes. Big ones. Everyone seemed to analyze this statement, because all their eyes were on me now to explain. One harmless lie. I thought that's all I'd have to tell that night at prom. I was just changing the order of events. And now here I was, still lying. I felt myself building the web, and I was afraid the only one who was going to get trapped in it was me.
He used to live here before I knew him, before he went away to school. He must have known her from then. Who is she, anyway? Claire asked this time. We should find her and talk to her. Tell her to stay away from Bradley.
I didn't recognize her. Maybe she doesn't even go to school here. Maybe she went to prom with a friend. My anxiety was building, my heart racing. I didn't like lying.
Lucky for me, Daniel Carlson sidestepped into our group, draping his arm around my shoulder. I was happy for the interruption, knowing he'd changed the subject to student council stuff that we had been working on for the last few weeks. Or at least that's why I figured he was here. It's all we ever talked about anymore.
So, now that you're single.
Or maybe he wouldn't change the subject.
I don't do repeats, Daniel.
He laughed.
Too bad for you.
Yes, it tears me up inside.
So, he said, rally emergency. The sound system for the gym is down. Mr. Green doesn't know if it will be fixed by Friday.
Okay, we'll discuss it at the meeting today.
As vice president, I felt it important to report this immediately, as I am just a servant to your authority.
I hip-checked him. Whatever. I'll see you after school.
I'm dismissed, boss.
I smiled. Go away. He ran off, joining another group of girls ahead of us. Claire and Lainey had fallen a few steps behind, talking about calculus homework, but Jules was still at my side. I thought he said he didn't know our town very well. He asked if we had an arcade, Jules said. I blinked, confused.
What?
Bradley. You said he lived here before, but he said he didn't know our town very well. Something in me snapped. I wasn't going to put up with this anymore. I'd been trying to play nice for months now, thinking if I didn't, they might choose her over me. But right now, I had to take the risk,
because I was tired of feeling like I had to defend myself every time I hung out with my best friends. So in a voice as low and